Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul, Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is Thursday, if you hear this, the day it comes out, which means it is time for our weekly listener mail segment where we get to hear from the best part of the show, you specifically. You. I can't say it enough, and I hope that's okay. We keep repeating it because it matters. Today, we are going to talk about shipwrecks in a way that foreshadows an upcoming episode. And we are also going to share some news from several of our Muslim listeners who responded with fantastic insight regarding the Quran. And this is something that's going to be close to a lot of our fellow listeners' hearts and experience. We can't wait to get to it. We're also going to have what I am going to call some 10-10 terrible jokes from, oh gosh, I didn't even want to spoil it. But before we do that, there is something that we wanted to begin with today that blew our minds, blew my mind at least. I don't want to speak for everyone. It is in response to a fantastic mission that NASA is currently undergoing out there in the deep ink. It's true, folks. We always ask for inside scoops from experts. And goodness gracious, we got one that fully opened a bag of badgers.
Yes, and let's open it together, shall we? We're going to call this person Seven. Seven says, "Hey guys, found your podcast about a year ago and really enjoyed it. It's constantly one of my top three." And that's really kind, by the way. Mm-hmm. Back to the email. "I was just catching up and was listening to your Strange News episode where you talked about the DART program. And I got very excited because I have a special connection to that program. A few years ago, while working at the company I'm at, that makes specialized components for spacecraft and satellites, and the DART program came across my desk, and between myself and an engineer, we invented the mass production process that made making the components for this mission possible, and therefore made the mission possible. How cool is that? That someone who did that is listening and then decided to write to us? Y'all do amazing jobs.
Yes, thank you.
I mean, all of you, like whoever, whatever you're doing right now, it's super cool. You always write to us and you're doing like the coolest things ever. So keep doing those things.
Way cooler than our jobs. 100%.
Dude. Seven says, prior to our work, the kinds of ultra-light, ultra-thin components required for a mission like this would have had to be meticulously handmade by a handful of expert technicians, a very time-consuming process and a labor-intensive process. However, the process we invented allows us to train a handful of our normal, though still skilled, technicians and have them make 10 to 20 times the number of components in the same amount of time it used to take to make one. In fact, during that development process, I personally hand-built several of the components now hurtling their way through space towards the asteroid, thus proving even a monkey with two right hands could produce a quality product with our process. Wow. Okay. A few additional fun facts. When working on DART, I used to joke, when asked how my day was, that I was tired from saving the planet. The process I helped invent is also being used to build the components for the Lunar Gateway missions life support systems. Okay, Lunar Gateway missions life support systems. Nice. I also worked on the Mars helicopter project. What? There's a Mars helicopter project? Okay, I need to read more about that, obviously. Oh my God.
No, it's really cool.
Okay, what is it?
So as far as I understand, and Seven, you are obviously our expert here, the Mars helicopter project refers to Ingenuity, street name Jenny. It's this rotor helicopter that was part of the, I think it was a combo meal with the Perseverance rover. It landed in 2021. So it's like, it's an airborne drone capability. Basically,
I remember this. Okay, yeah. Now I remember this. Wow. Okay, in my mind, I was thinking full-sized helicopter on Mars situation with like some people, you know, in a Huey. I thought you built the Huey for Mars. I was really excited.
Yeah, it did its, just looking it up now, it did its 31st flight earlier this month, September 6th. And it was a long flight too. That's pretty impressive, right? Because I don't know about you guys, but I can't even fly a helicopter on Earth, much less build one that can fly remotely on another planet.
Yeah, for sure.
And this person is listening to our show, Matt, while they're making history. Ah, geez. Thanks for classing the place up, Seven.
Yeah. Don't know why you're listening to us, but that's okay. Just keep doing what you're doing. So Seven said they worked on the Mars helicopter project and got to handle a component that is currently on the chopper on Mars. Amazing.
Get to the chopper on Mars.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Very much.
I had to do it.
It's two movies combined, right? On a totally different note, I think an episode about the FIRE, Financial Independence Retire Early community, could be interesting to a lot of people. I had never heard of it until my wife started looking into it, and now we're on track to retire early. I feel it is very much stuff they don't want you to know because it highlights just how broken our culture is and how the rich and wealthy have trained and taught us to think that it isn't possible to retire until we're old, but how with a bit of planning and patience, us normal people can use many of the same methods that the wealthy use to generate our own wealth. It is too much for me to explain in an email, but I highly recommend looking into it because I feel it really is the stuff they, the 1%, don't want us to know. Best regards, Seven.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's so much here, right? There is so much here, Seven. If anybody wants to learn about the FIRE philosophy and movement, do encourage you to do so. You can find some wonderful subreddits. We don't always recommend subreddits, but there's a very active community, and it is well worth your time, even if it's not for everyone, even if your mileage may vary. But Matt, this call to you, and this is in direct response to a story that you earlier shared in a previous Strange News segment regarding DART, aka NASA's great game of trick shot pool that just may hopefully save planet Earth one day. So what really speaks to you? What do you come away from this correspondence with?
Just that there's someone out there listening that's doing this. This really is potentially Earth-saving tech, and or at least a mission that is Earth-saving. So I think it's amazing that there are individual humans doing it. Often we think about government projects and, you know, NASA projects and even other like Bigelow Aerospace projects as one big thing that is working towards whatever mission it is, going to Mars, getting humans on Mars, doing more moon missions. But it really is just individual humans that are working on, let's say, one component that ends up on a helicopter drone on Mars. That's incredible. I think it speaks to me in that it's a team of people working on something, but in the end, there are individuals who each do their part. I don't know. That's really cool to me. That just makes me happy.
Yeah, very much the same. You know, years ago, we did a series on YouTube called Stuff of Genius. And the original idea of Stuff of Genius was that it would highlight inventors. And quickly, we found that the majority of human endeavors, the things that like make it to the history books, the majority of those actions and those innovations are collaborative efforts. What's the old proverb? If you want to travel fast, travel alone. If you want to travel far, travel with others. And seven, you are building history right now. Folks, you know, you're listening while maybe you're doing chores, maybe you're on the road, maybe you're at work, maybe, you know, as many reviews say, we're helping you fall asleep. But if you ever get down, just think about that. How amazing is that? I'm going to curse on this one. There is a fucking helicopter on Mars. And you sort of know one of the people who helped that become a real thing. That's amazing. I don't know. Should we have saved this one for the end? Should we have saved it for like the end of the year? I'm so impressed right now. People are out here changing the world, Matt. And one time I fell asleep halfway through trying to put on a pair of pants.
One leg at a time.
Also, I thought that was a sarcastic observation for the longest time because, you know, like growing up, I thought it was faster if you sort of sat down or like put your butt on a bed or a chair or something and then popped both your legs through. I thought it was like a joke. I didn't realize the normal way to put on pants for it was embarrassing.
You're a very forward-thinking individual, Ben. I mean, I don't think most people would consider that. It does require a bed, though. So if you don't have a bed, there's really only one way to do it. But if you have an extra piece of gear, like a bed, you could just hop on your back, plop both legs in at the same time. But you can't just jump into your pants.
Wait,
no one can do that.
Are you guys being serious? Someone,
maybe a circus performer could do it.
I thought that was how you're supposed to put pants on.
That's what I'm saying.
Hold it out and then you jump into it.
Oh, no, I was doing a lean method. I was not a clever child.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Matt, also, for everybody who hasn't seen us in person, you can remedy that by going to our live shows coming up early October. If you haven't seen Matt in person, Matt exclusively wears those wrestler breakaway pants, right?
I love the sound it makes. It's like a shush. You always know it's about to go down when you hear that sound.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And you turn around.
And wear three and pairs at once in case one of them rips away like prematurely.
Right.
Revealing Matt's trademarked golden G-string.
Redundancy.
Everyone knows it.
Redundancy. Yeah. Just like NASA, right?
Right.
All right. Well, hey, I just wanted to point out, I don't know, this is a really cool thing. That's all I wanted to point out. I didn't even want to talk about anything conspiratorial. I just think it's cool, Seven. Keep doing it. Anybody else out there working on a project, no matter what it is right now, as you're hearing this, just keep going. You're doing important stuff. I promise. It may not seem like it in this moment, but it is. We'll hear a quick word from our sponsor and we'll be right back.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/Concert Week to buy now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back with more listener mail. That's mail from you. Yes, you, the very one. This you in question, in particular today, comes from Alice. Ben, you mentioned at the top of the show that we had a couple of listeners write in about the conversation we had around the Bible versus the Quran, just in terms of, I think the question that I raised was, you know, obviously there are lots of different versions of the Bible, the King James Version. There are different, you know, interpretations, and these are actual core changes to the text itself. And I brought up the question of, like, are there different versions of the Quran? To which you responded, there are certainly other translations. There are many different translations, but, you know, the core, you know, text of the Quran is pretty sacrosanct.
And there's only one Quran.
That seemed right to me.
There's only one.
It seemed right to me. And that was sort of the whole point, was that the Bible seems to be very much up for interpretation and can be wielded almost as a tool of control, a mechanism of control by those who, you know, seek to kind of bend it to their own goals, culturally speaking. So here's a perspective from a Muslim listener of ours on that very issue, and so clarifying a few things that we already discussed, but adding some new perspective around it, and I really appreciate it. Just listen to your episode where you touch on book bannings and versions of the Bible. First, let me say I was raised Catholic from grades 1 to 11 before becoming Muslim in my late 20s because it actually made more sense to me than Christianity. Regarding versions of the Quran, There's only one version of the Quran accepted by any faction of Islam. Whether someone is Sunni, Shia, Sufi, etc., there is only one version. It is only really acceptable if it is in the original Arabic. However, there are many different translations of the Quran, and those can be hotly contested, as the meaning can be severely changed by the translation of a single word, the mistranslation, rather, of a single word. In fact, this is taken so seriously because in Islamic belief, the entire reason the Quran was dictated to Muhammad is because the Christian Bible had been, quote, changed by men and parts added and removed. The Bible had been around for at least 1,000 years at this point. So God sent a clean copy again and really laid down the law on not changing anything. The Shia-Sunni difference has to do with the scholarly interpretation of what the Quran says to do and some stuff regarding the lineage of Muhammad. A great example of interpretive differences would be like, quote, tell the women to pull their head coverings over their bosoms. One group may interpret this as women must cover their hair and chests, and another may interpret it as being more important to cover your chest than your hair. So that makes sense. It's all about interpretation here. You know, you can have a steadfast text, letter, chapter, and verse, you know, that will never change, but you're going to have interpretations of even that, you know, like without the pitfalls of actual translation into another language. And as we know, the art of being a translator of like scholarly works or poetry or things where there's so much nuance in the language itself, you know, to do that translation justice requires a lot of kind of mental jujitsu and kind of like really creative thinking to figure out how to impart the same meaning and intent in another language that maybe doesn't have the same cultural implications or the same, you know, connotations within words. So I thought this was a really good opportunity to just talk a little bit about the nature of translation and the nature of kind of communication. What do you guys think?
Yeah, we were having a conversation for a secret project yesterday with the three of us hanging out, talking about the game of telephone. We bring that up on this show a lot, just the concept that anytime information is transferred, if it's done especially by a human source, so verbally telling someone or even writing it down, if you're not copying it directly, there's going to be small changes, likely, right? And it's just in how each individual person interprets something and translates it from a page or from words or something like that into their own way they speak, you know, the words that they use to convey ideas. I think it's a smart move if you're going to have, you know, a really dogmatic belief system and you want to have that in place if you're the people, you know, beginning a religion or trying to strengthen a religion's numbers or something like that. It's a really smart move to tamp down on different versions of a holy book, right? It's going to make it feel probably a lot more authentic to anyone else encountering it if you're aware that this is the one and only.
Mm. Yeah, one of the reasons that I pitched the idea of history as a game of telephone all these years ago is because unfortunately, it's quite accurate. You know, the Catholic Church, for instance, is a form of Christianity that spent a great deal of time deciding what was and what was not considered canonical, fighting against the idea of this game of telephone before the game, before telephones were even invented, as a fun comparison. In response, it is something I would say is beautiful about the Quran, is the idea that this is the thing, no edits, you know, you can't change it. In full disclosure, I do not read Arabic very well at all. I am certainly not someone who is able to recite all 114 chapters of the Quran, but it's such a brilliant law to lay down, to say this is the truth, it shall not be changed by people who feel that changing it would be socially or politically convenient later down the line, you know? And that's, I think that's a very good point that you make, Alice, regarding the dangers of translation, and maybe not even dangers. You know, a lot of those translations are going to be someone doing their level best as a translator. And honestly, as anyone who studies language knows, any polyglot can tell you that there are concepts in some languages, in many languages, that don't have a one-to-one comparison in other languages. And, you know, that confusion, that, liminal space, sorry, is where, that's where these sorts of things begin. And that's where you start to see these divisions proliferate. And you do not have to be a person of the Muslim faith to recognize the inherent potential danger of translation, you know, translation gone wild. Like, okay, so good faith actors can make mistakes in translation, right? Or accidentally put their own cultural framework on it. But there are also bad faith actors in translation. And we see that so often in the modern day. You know, there are Western propagandists who put their own spin on translations, especially when they know that here in the U.S., many people won't be able to understand the origin, the original language that is being translated. It's tough, you know, and hats off to any working translator who's listening today, because it can be very, very difficult to try to move thoughts from one language to another.
Now, I thought of that conversation too, Matt, that we had in on the Top Secret Project. And it is interesting the way throughout history, you know, so much is carried over through the oral tradition, which is why the idea of a printed, work or a printed holy text was so revolutionary and important, because it's like, nope, no more of that. This is the thing. But that doesn't stop it, does it? Because interpretation is its own game of telephone. It just kind of happens in people's minds.
You know, it's interesting because one of our other fellow conspiracy realists who wants to be referred to as stuff they don't want you to know as Muslim fan points out that there are various styles of reciting the Arabic of the Quran and compares it to singing styles. And then also, Alice, just so you know, you're not alone. There are other people, including Stuff They Want You to Know as Muslim Fan, who pointed out the difference of interpretation in translation. It can be a really complicated, challenging thing. But I don't know about you, Noel. I don't know about you, Matt. But I'm grateful that we have listeners who are aware of the difficulties and dangers of translation, and also profoundly grateful that we have fellow conspiracy realists who trust us enough to send this message out to the rest of us, to the rest of us and our listeners who may not be aware of the reason that the only true Quran is in Arabic. We're pretty lucky.
Agreed. We are going to take a quick break. And then we're going to come back with one more piece of listener mail. Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long
for just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we have returned. Our next piece of correspondence comes from Tyler D. out in Alberta, Canada. Tyler, you gave us the okay to use what you tell us is your real name on air. So Tyler says the following. I've been a fan from the first show. Wow. That's a long time, huh? But I can't remember if you ever covered the topic of sunken World War II vessels and ecological disasters waiting to escape their decaying hulls. Tyler, you point us to a wonderful documentary via YouTube called Forgotten Wrecks Are a Time Bomb, and you kick some numbers that I wanted to share with the group. With over 8,500 shipwrecks worldwide, three-fourths of which are apparently from World War II. The majority of them are from the past century. There are 6,338 World War II ships containing an estimated, get this guys, 25 million tons of fuel and oil still sitting in corroding tanks. The German ships mainly use synthetic oil produced from coal treated with hydrogen at high temperatures, which is more toxic than typical oil at the time. And just for, get this, ships and giggles, I would also like to add another delightful fun fact. Off the coast of Norway, approximately 800 feet below the surface, is the Nazi U-boat U-864 that was sunk by the British sub HMS Venturer on February 9th, 1945. It contained 65 to 67,000 tons of mercury, 20 torpedoes, and enriched uranium. The exact numbers are probably kept under wraps, but this sounds worse than horrible. It would be interesting to hear what you guys can find out. I look forward to every new episode. Thank you all, and stay frosty. Tyler, what do you think? We've never covered this, right? All the ships of years past with a little tick, 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 tick of underwater corrosion.
Yeah, that's really freaky. You just think about how dangerous a single oil tanker is when it's out, you know, just in the ocean and it's immobilized and maybe the hull is compromised in a small way. How much of an undertaking it is to get that ship away or out of the water or to repair whatever's broken so that the thing doesn't just sink to the bottom and then eventually leak out, right? Mm-hmm. That becomes a huge news story. Just the fact that there are so many vessels down there right now, but like, what the heck do you do about it?
Right,
just wait until all the oceans dry up, like Lake Mead.
Right, yeah, it's weird. The lakes are drying up while the ocean size is increasing. Right, at the same time, becoming increasingly unlivable, sort of like New York. Anyhow, I walked down the street from that one, for that one. But yeah, maybe this is a future episode, because we know that in the past, the U.S. in particular has executed some pretty crafty attempts to retrieve shipwrecks covertly, you know? And given that the oceanic environment is largely unexplored, especially at the depths, it's kind of hard to tell what's down there, you know? It's pretty nuts. I just don't know whether there is a huge bill that will come due at some point. You know, Matt, you point out the issue with oil tankers, right? With oil rigs, what happens when those things go sideways? Would this, I guess maybe our question for the episode would be, does this create a situation in which there's a massive outpouring of contaminants, or is it just like adding another 2% to the ongoing catastrophe? I honestly don't know. What do you guys think?
In some ways, it's a drop in the bucket, right? Because we know ocean acidification is probably the major issue, as well as the temperature rise. I mean, if those are happening, then anything that's in that water is going to be affected. If you've got contaminants like this that are isolated, at least for the most part, to a cloud of stuff that's going to be contaminating the water, I think you have to think about it that way. There are bigger fish to fry, but most of them are whales and cetaceans and things like that, and that's really messed up.
Yeah, agreed. So this is maybe a story for a future episode, because we would have to look at, I don't know, all the sketchy stuff that goes on in maritime law, all the you know, the rights of plunder, the rights of recovery, and then we would have to look at the inevitable consequences. As we've mentioned in the past, by the way, our home state of Georgia here in the United States is home to a sunken nuclear weapon. It is off the coast of Savannah. Everybody knows it's there somewhere. It is yet to be retrieved. We're just kind of hoping nothing bumps it. Yeah, right. I think about that every time we're in Savannah.
I know we talked about that before. It seems like in order to make a nuclear weapon do the thing it's meant to do, it was born to do, and start a chain reaction that makes a big old boomy boom, you have to trigger it in a certain way. You right. can't just explode it, right? So that's that. I'm not as worried about that one. But lingering effects of radioactive waste and or, you know, nuclear fissile materials, that does worry me.
Well, add it to the list, right, of things to think about. We don't want to end on a downer or make things too worrisome. Give us your input. Give us your experience with tracking shipwrecks. There are people who professionally go out to find these. They are treasure hunters, history hunters. If you're in the audience, we would love to hear from you and share your story so that we end on an up note or maybe a groan. There's one last thing I want to share apart from someone calling themselves Humorous Harry. Did you all see the email from Humorous Harry?
HH?
HH, yes.
I've heard about it. I hear tell.
Love it.
Hear tell. Okay. All right. Okay. We'll do a few of these so that we don't get fired. These are 10 terrible jokes. And Harry, I say that with profound respect and immense affection. Humorous Harry says, as always, love the show. Keep up the excellent work. Just to give something back for all that you have given me. Editorial note here. I don't know if that is like a thank you or if he's telling us this is revenge. Harry says, these are some of the most recent jokes I created. Enjoy. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yes.
What money does Bigfoot use? This is an easy one. I think we can guess.
Ooh. Sask quarters.
I like that one, Noel. I think that's okay. He says, cryptid currency.
Oh, like, okay, yeah, that works.
Yep. Yep.
I like SAS quarters,
I like
though.
It. I like it. It's
because it's got the Q. It's got the Q in there, you know, and the
it's
U.
It's better.
Sasquatch, yeah. Sasquartars.
Yeah, it's got a good mouthfeel, as you would say.
In case anybody missed the joke.
Yeah, it's better than Buckfoot. So why did the cryptocurrency owner go to the dentist? They chipped a tooth when they Bitcoin.
Oh,
that's like something an old pirate would do. You got to make sure that there was gold in them doubloons.
Well, I want to keep this punchy. So you guys pull up the email too, so we could round robin this a little bit. While you're looking for it, I'll just say,
why did Scotty from Star Trek throw clowns into the warp drive?
Why is that, Matt?
Because Captain Kirk said, "I need fool power."
Ooh.
I need full power.
Wow. Ooh, I've got one, if you don't mind. It's not on the list, but I've been watching this amazing Australian show called Mr. In Between, and the joke is, what do the Starship Enterprise and toilet paper have in common?
What's that, Noel?
They both search Uranus for Klingons.
That's good.
It's not good.
Did they go to Uranus?
No, it's space, whatever.
They're not, wait for it, inner system explorers on Star Trek. Oh, geez. All right. Why was the Energizer Bunny taken to jail? It was arrested for battery. Tut, tut, humorous Harry.
I never trusted that bunny with those dark glasses. Why don't you show us your eyes, bunny? How about this one? What kind of comedy do you get in the desert?
I don't know. What?
Dry humor.
Ooh, then a slow, painful starvation.
Mm.
Okay, what kind of toast do Dalmatian owners like?
Oh, I don't know. What?
Pure bread?
That's pure bread.
Oh, jeez.
It's kind of...
Oh, buddy.
It's kind of like those compilations from like the early aughts or late 90s, Pure Moods. This is pure bread.
Okay.
No adulterants allowed.
Okay, you know what? We're just going to do one more, and then we're going to wrap the show. Harry, you asked, what do female fish wear to feel alluring? Can I get an I don't know what?
Should we do that?
Tell us.
Okay, all right, tell us.
Fish nets. Doc, I hope you're giving us the appropriate sound cue groans here, but I don't know about you guys. I love this. Harry, you took the time out of your day to create jokes for your fellow conspiracy realists. And you sent a lot. And we're reading some of them, but we love this stuff. You know, you could call them dad jokes. You could call them puns. But, you know, nowadays, and these are dark times, any chuckle, I think, is worth its weight in gold, in crypto, in Bitcoin, in lithium, in... other things?
Yeah. You know, Harry reminds me a lot of the sound person we worked with yesterday, Ron.
Ron!
That guy had some zingers. He had some zingers. And he just flowed them in, and you'd barely even notice until you were like, I've been sliced by comedy.
Yeah. He's got what the British call a patter. So thank you, as always, to everyone who spends the time, the only real currency of our age, tuning in. We love sharing stories from your fellow conspiracy realists. And if you want to take a page from their book, we cannot wait to hear from you. We try to be easy to find online. I don't know if we're opening a door, but send us your jokes.
We're definitely closing a window.
There it is.
You can find us on the internet where we are Conspiracy Stuff on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube as well. You can find us on Instagram at Conspiracy Stuff, a show.
Don't forget to head over to stuffyoushouldreadbooks.com and pre-order the book or the audiobook. Or, hey, why not buy a ticket to come and see us in mid-October because we're going on the road. Again, stuffyoushouldreadbooks.com. Book comes out October 11th.
That's right. And if you have something on your mind, and if you want another way to catch us and you don't sip those social meds, we have your back. All you have to do is give us a call. We're 1-833-STDWYTK. You'll hear a voice letting you know you're in the right place. You'll hear a beep like so. Beep. And then you got 3 minutes. Go nuts with them. Get weird. Those 3 minutes are your own. We ask that you keep it to just those 3 minutes. Let us know if we can use your name and or voice on the air. Most importantly, if you have a story that needs more than 3 minutes, tell us the whole thing. Write it out. Send us links. Send us the images. We read every single email we get. All you have to do is drop us a line where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Attention, true crime enthusiast. Searching for a way to unwind after diving deep into the mysteries that keep you up at night? Look no further.
Introducing Lazarus Naturals, your trusted companion for CBD relief. With a commitment to transparency, Lazarus Naturals oversees every step from farm to doorstep, ensuring purity and quality you can trust.
Visit LazarusNaturals.com today and discover how CBD can help you decompress and recharge for your next investigation.
That's LazarusNaturals.com.
Lazarus Naturals, your partner in unraveling the mysteries of true crime.
Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.